right, welcome back to Conspiranormal. I'm your host, Adam Sane, with my co-host, Luke Two Metal for the Devil Reed.
Hello!
And we have somebody here tonight. Yeah, Chris!
I know, right?
He's in the house.
Yep, I'm back.
What's going on, Chris? How you been?
Oh, you know me. Just getting in trouble, as usual.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Well, tonight we don't have too much time because we need to call our guest here in about like 2-3 minutes, but I'm going to have a special guest on tonight, someone that influenced me in the podcast field a long time ago in a show called World of the Unexplained. His name is J. Scott Smith, but when we come back from that interview, I want to talk a little bit about the Ghostland Tennessee, which is the Tennessee Wraith Chasers show that premiered last night. And just anything else that we want to talk about. So we will be back on Conspiranormal here after the interview. Okay, and we are back on Conspiranormal. This is your host, Adam Sane.
Your co-host, as always.
And the great...
The guy who shows up, Chris.
MC Alpine. All right.
Guy on the couch.
You had to throw that one at me.
Well, tonight we have a very special guest. He was the main host of a show called World of the Unexplained that was on, I started listening to it around 2006, and I believe it was on around about 2005, and ended around 2008-2009 era. And also, he was the host of Third Rail Radio, which was a political, kind of a political talk show. But World of the Unexplained was a supernatural show, much like we are. And they talked about supernatural and conspiracy theories. And it was one of those shows that really inspired me to do this podcast. And I would call into this show quite a lot and talk to these guys. So I want to just introduce J. Scott Smith from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here. I hate that, like we were talking off air a little bit ago, I hate that Trent Lackey, my co-host, couldn't be available tonight. He was really looking forward to it, but things came up and he's just unavailable. But thanks a lot for having me on tonight, guys. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for coming on. J. Scott, if you can kind of give us, I kind of gave a little bit of summary of World of the Unexplained, but if you can kind of, you know, tell us about your experiences and how you started the radio show and, you know, what it is that inspired you.
Well, you know, I'll start with the cheesy tagline that everybody talks about, you know, and these kind of things. It's kind of a, it kind of comes with the territory of, when I was a small child, I was fascinated by the paranormal. And, you know, we all have our experiences. Trent was also, I've known Trent, a lot of people don't know this, I've known Trent since kindergarten. And we've been best friends for forever, I mean, our whole lives now. I'll be 37 this year. So it's been quite a, you know, I've known him basically since I was, you know, probably, I don't know, whether you're 5, 6 years old when you're in, you know, 30 years. So we both shared an interest in it, and we were the weirdo kids that used to get the library books on vampires and werewolves and things like that when we were in 6th grade and 7th grade. You know, kind of like a early version of, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the movie The Monster Squad.
Oh man.
Yeah.
We're familiar with it, never seen it, but
you've never
seen
it. It's a classic, man. You've got to see Monster Squad. Dude. It's a cheesy movie. It's very campy, but it's a lot of fun. I've actually got a copy of it when they re-released it. I think it was its 20th anniversary or something crazy like that.
You got it on Blu-ray.
Like what?
You got it on Blu-ray.
Oh yeah, yeah. Awesome.
Got it on beta disc.
You know, it was the same kind of deal. I mean, we were both interested in it. We met a lot of people along the way. The person that got me invested in the idea of a radio show is a man who is so sadly not with us anymore today. He died from cancer, I believe, around 2004, or leukemia. I'm not exactly sure. I don't know all the details. But you can Google him. His name was Lou Gentile. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Lou.
Yeah, I'm familiar with him.
Okay. Lou, I was listening to his show because he had such a great, great, great show about the DeFeos and the whole Amityville horror, and he was a good friend of John Zaffis, who's a friend of mine. I know y'all are probably familiar from him, mainly for his work on Haunted Collector, the show that he has now. But John, John Zaffis is actually Lorraine and Ed Warren's nephew. And, you know, Ed and Lorraine Warren were the original investigators of the Amityville house. I don't know how familiar you guys are with that legend, but...
Yeah, we had another guest that was all about it.
We had on a guy named Tim Yancey. He was a friend with George Lutz.
Okay, and, okay. Yeah, so you know the Lutzes and the DeFeos and the whole story. Yeah. Well, basically, I listened. They had a really, really good... Lou had a really, really good show on that, and he uncovered a lot of stuff, and he even had someone that was claiming to be speaking with Mr. DeFeo in prison, and all kinds of crazy stuff went down. I don't even know if you can get those podcasts anymore, but Lou was I called him up several times to, you know, talk to him when I was in college, and I said, you know what, I went to Guilford College. That was my alma mater. That's in Greensboro, North Carolina. It's a small private liberal arts college. And that was back in the day when I was a kind of a pseudo hippie and very, very, very liberal guy. So I was, you know, totally into social justice and all these fairy tales that we don't believe in anymore. But at the time, I was, you know, 100% consumed by it, because that's what these jaded professors teach you, to, you know, the way they mold you to think. So basically, though, I was there, and we had our radio station, WQFS, is probably one of the larger college radio stations out there, because we had, I can't remember the wattage on it, but it's something really big. You can hear the thing 30 miles away, and it's an FM station. I want to say it's, God, what's the wattage on that thing? I know it's over 1,000 watts, I'm sure. It's a huge station, though, for college campus to have. And I said, you know what? I want to do a talk show, a paranormal talk show. And I want to do it for school credit, because I was an English major with a communications minor. I took it to my advisor, told him what I wanted to do, and he approved it. And I started a weekly broadcast. Well, the problem was we didn't have any kind of equipment there that, you know, to get phone calls in or to, you know, to silence people if they said something bad the FCC wouldn't like very much. So what I had to do is I had to pre-record all my shows. And this is back... You guys remember, you know, tape recorders, right?
Oh, yeah. At least I do, yeah.
Yeah, Adam more than me.
I'm the old guy in this group.
Yeah. Well, anyway, the tape recorders I'd have to use, and Radio Shack at the time made this device you could plug into your home telephone. So I would call people up on the phone, and just I would have this device from Radio Shack plugged into a small micro cassette recorder, and that's the way I did it. I would play it on that, and then I would take the tape, and I would put it on a computer, and I'd make a CD of it, and then I'd take the CD in, and I would just play the CD during my show spot. So that's what started, and that was called, that was called J. Scott's World of the Unexplained, and that started around 2001, 2002, somewhere around in there when I was in college. Well, then I made the mistake of going to law school. That's a whole other story. So, what does one do with a liberal arts degree in English other than teach or be a doctor or a lawyer, right? At least that was my thoughts at the time. So went to law school, did that for a brutal 2.5 years. I did it in 2.5 instead of 3. And earned my Juris Doctor degree. And I thought when I was in my last year of law school, I said, you know what? I'd heard of these guys called Ghostly Talk. And I said, well,
yeah,
I've heard their show, you know. You're familiar with Scott L. and Doug, you know, and I'm like, I can do a better job than that. At least I thought so in my mind, because I didn't think anybody got any really good guests, and that was my big complaint. That's generally my big complaint of most shows now, is I just don't think they get good enough guests. So I set out to do that and to curb that, and I told Trent about it, and Trent said, oh, this is just another one of your pipe dreams. You know, we can't do this over the internet. It's not possible. I'm like, well, these guys are doing it over the internet. I said, I think we can do it over the internet. So, with that, we started talking about it. I bought a bunch of equipment, and since I was a musician before, I didn't really know anything about Skype or any, you know, I had to research this pretty thoroughly. But, you know, I made up a website using, like, I think I used Front Page 97 back then.
Wow.
Yeah, it looked kind of cheesy, but now I can't build a website today. I can't do it. I just can't do it. So, I built a website and put up we rented some servers, and we went live with it. We started with probably 8 or 9 listeners in the beginning, And then it grew and it grew and it grew, and we started adding radio stations to the mix and all kinds of other things. And then eventually, over time, you know, I got too busy, and, you know, Trent's got two twins right now. He just had a boy and a girl. And, you know, life caught up with us. But that's basically as far as the story of that show goes. I mean, as far as some of the guests that we've had on, I think one of my favorites was, I don't know how familiar all of you are with the show. I know that, you know, Adam is, obviously, but the vampire, the Highgate vampire stuff.
Yeah, that was very interesting. In fact, you had two guys on that were kind of like at odds with each other over the whole thing.
Oh, it was great.
You guys like actually sparked controversy.
Well, what's going on?
Now, what was it with the Highgate? What's the story behind the Highgate vampire?
Well, there's two guys involved. One, and they used to be friends, apparently.
Yeah.
David Ferrant, he was one of the guys, and the other guy was Bishop Sean Manchester. And Bishop Manchester claims to have actually staked a real live vampire in the heart and saw it disintegrate in front of his eyes. And I said, man, that is amazing. I have got to have this guy on.
Yes!
That's how we are with our guests, too.
Yeah,
like the wizard.
Yeah, that I'm still yet to do.
And it sucks that we lost the show from our last guest.
Yeah, it does. We'll talk more about that later. But we're going to try to get him back, so.
Yeah.
You need to. But that's the reason I got him on. And then David Ferrant, he went to jail for all kinds of crazy stuff, you know, involving that cemetery and some other stuff. He told us about it. And
staking vampires, probably?
Yeah, they I think, I can't remember what they arrested him for. It's in the interview. But it was something to do with voodoo or something. And he's like, which I, of course, did, you know. We just thought it was hilarious. But those guys were, you know, that was a really fun show. Really, both of those interviews were good. David Ferrant came on and talked to us. He talked to us live because, you know, that's a problem. A lot of times we get British people on is, you know, the time zone difference because, you know, it's late over there. And we're very fortunate to have had guys that would show up because, you know, we, like the guy that said we never went to the moon, I can't remember his name right now. He's a British guy. He said, you know, we never actually went to the moon. He says it's a conspiracy. So he's over on English time. So getting him lined up, he's really tired. Same way with David Ferrant, you know, he came on in a weird hour. Bishop Manchester would not do it. He would only agree to a pre-recorded interview. So that's what we did.
But, he was kind of a weird-looking guy, too, man. He looked like somebody out of, like, a Hammer movie.
Oh, yeah, man. It's great stuff. If anybody staked a vampire, it was that dude. Yeah, I would say that.
He had like a full-on fro going on. And
he's a time traveler on top of that. Sounds like someone else we know.
But that was a fun one. You know, we had other weird ones like what was that guy, Chris something, the guy that said that he sued David Copperfield saying he had stole his magical powers.
Yeah, and he gotten Celine Dion pregnant. And, like, she was having his like reptilian love child or something.
Yeah, awesome. I can't remember his name, but apparently that was a fun one. Some of our listeners actually emailed us and they were like, I can't believe y'all sank to this level. Like, y'all must not have been listening to the show that long.
I can only hope to sink to that level on this show.
Yeah. I want to meet these people face to face.
You need to give me that guy's email.
I'll try to find it. I'll shoot it to you.
Well, my favorite, I remember listening to that show. My favorite part was like, you said something now, like, are you like, you know, are you like mentally ill? And he's like, oh yeah, I'm totally crazy.
Well, he admitted it. He knew what was going on, right?
there was another good guest that you used to have that always kind of just made me really laugh, and that was Rich Anders.
Oh, Rich is a crazy guy. He's very funny. He's a lot of nights. I mean, he would just make the show. Just the stuff that he would, you know, the stuff he'd say. You know, it was just real sporadic, and none of this was scripted. You know, all of it was live, and he could just come up with some wild, you know, wild ideas. But he was fun. He always talked about watching Dancing with the Stars. I don't know if you remember that.
There was a show that you guys
Dancing
did.
With Stars.
There's like, a show that you guys did where you were interviewing him and he was watching Dancing with the Stars at the same time.
Yeah.
Yes. Wow.
You ask him a question, he's like, "What? Hold on. I was watching Dancing with the Stars. Wait for a commercial."
We can't. Yeah, I was gonna say we couldn't get his attention until the commercial break.
Sure,
but you know, we've had some crazy guys too. We've had some, you know, some real far out ideas. My favorite probably of the really far out stuff was the whole reptilian thing.
You know, the David Icke stuff.
Yeah. A lot of people believe that stuff. It's just,
yeah.
I mean, you know, hey, I guess each his own thing. But I mean, that's a little far out for me. Now, you know, some of my favorite stuff was the Nephilim stuff, the Genesis 6 guys. I mean, I always thought those were interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've had a couple of those guys at our show here.
A couple? I feel like we've had several.
Several?
Maybe for you, Chris.
Have y'all got that L.A. Marzulli on?
No, we haven't had him on yet. We'd like to.
That Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, it's a great book.
Yeah, you guys were one of the first, I remember, that had him on, I remember.
Mm-hmm. You know, Raymond Moody, I was really happy when I got him on.
Yeah.
And we've had a lot of big names, and, you know, we even had the Borg Queen on, you know, I mean, that was pretty cool. Alice Cridge. For all those, you know, sci-fi fans out there.
For all the Star Trek geeks.
Never really was that big into Star Trek, so, you know, Chuck was like, oh, this is just like, you know, he was just going to control himself.
Oh, man.
The Borg Queen, oh, my gosh. I'm like, calm down, Chuck.
What was probably, like, the best guest you ever had and probably, like, the worst that you ever had?
Probably not going to tell you the worst on air. But
you don't have to name names.
We had some flops. I mean, we did. We had some that would come on, and it was just bad. You know, bad because we would ask a question, and they wouldn't respond. They would, you know, you would ask a long, you know, 3 or 4 part question, and they would say like yes, and that would be the end of the response. And you're like, okay, and you know, yeah, that's about right. You know. And then you're like, okay, great, next question.
Right.
But, you know, some of the more fun ones, usually the more fun they are, the more out of touch with, I guess, normal thinking, you know, you would find, like, I can't remember the guy's name, Pastor Harry, Larry, what was it? I want to say it's Pastor Harry, Church of the... Church of Philadelphia Online or something like that. He was the guy that burnt effigies of Santa Claus at Christmas.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Pastor Harry, I think that was his name. He was fun. And then the guy that did the UFOs, the Prophet Yahweh, he was also one of the more creative. And dude, did you see that video? Did you ever see that video from him on the newscast?
Yeah.
You need to Google that. I found it the other day.
I think
around.
You've seen that.
Seen what?
I'm sorry?
I think Luke may have seen that, too.
I can't explain it. I still can't explain it.
So Prophet Yahweh is this guy that's in Las Vegas. And he's kind of like this, what are they, like black Jews, basically. Kind of what they consider themselves.
Yeah.
And so they go by those kind of names, like Yahweh and all that kind of stuff. And he claimed that he could produce UFOs from nowhere.
And he did.
And there was an actual newscast that, you know, that he was on, and they had him produce a UFO, and you would actually see something shining in the sky.
So
people have theorized that possibly somebody was like releasing balloons or something.
They did look like white balloons. They looked like white weather balloons, kind of, but. Just the fact that he could make it happen on demand like that, and there was nothing around that anyone could see was, you know, that was the startling part. I mean, even the news guy who thought it wasn't going to be a story, he's calling his producer going, "You're never going to believe this." So, he did it.
Did he ever explain how?
He did on our show and on other shows. He talked about, you know, how he says this prayer, apparently, and they come down. I don't remember all the, you know, you have to understand. It's years and years ago when we did the interview.
Oh, okay.
I think Chris's mind is getting blown over here.
I just kind of want to know why you would just want to summon UFOs.
I mean, if you could, wouldn't you want to show someone you could do it?
Yeah.
I mean...
He made some prediction that he was going to do it in downtown Las Vegas, I think on the Strip or something, and he was going to do it on a certain day, and apparently that fell through. It never, ever. Yeah. He said people would be able to see them, and they would come around, and, you know, all kinds of things like that.
I mean, I guess, you know, if I could summon UFOs at will, I guess it'd be useful in, I don't know, picking up chicks or something. Just
oh, yeah!
Or be like, hey, look what I can do.
And I'd be, you know, go mess with the Scientology people. Hey, look what I can do.
Oh, no. Not the Scientology people.
Yeah, Ron Hubbard's communicating with me. I'm the new Pope of Scientology. Kiss the rings.
Your thetan levels are too high.
That's right.
What do you guys think about the new Pope? Or not the new Pope, but the old Pope getting ready to step down.
The Pope resigning?
Yeah.
We can't make any more Star Wars jokes.
Well, I think something happened today or yesterday where they're saying a cardinal had resigned.
Yes.
Over, I don't know, was it about sexual abuse?
Allegations that he had sexually abused 4 men training to become priests.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Now, so, I haven't caught the news today, and I'm usually a news junkie, but I've been in trial all day, so I haven't done anything at all. But that's crazy.
To explain to everyone, Jay Scott is a lawyer, so...
Yeah, I
think we got that during the law school thing.
So make sure that he's not the defendant.
It took me a second
I defend those charged with drinking and driving, so... You know, I'm that guy. I'm that guy that everyone hates. You know,
well, unfortunately, Luke lawyer. Doesn't live in North Carolina, so...
you know, the thing about the Pope, though, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the prophecy or one of the things that one of the old saints said. You know, the saints in the Catholic Church had claimed that there are only going to be so many popes. I don't know if you guys are familiar
with
that.
St. Malachi prophecy?
I think so, yeah. And he said this next one was going to be the last one. And then at the end of it, he writes, the end. And they called the guy Peter the Roman. And the black, one of the guys, the black pope from Africa, they said they could make the cut, be the first black pope. His name is like Peter something. I just thought that was kind of
Peter Turkson, yeah.
To throw it out there.
Apparently there's some other person that's named Peter as well.
There we go.
That's another cardinal that's on the list.
Hold on, I thought you didn't pick your pope name until after you were pope.
Yeah, well, you don't. I mean, I don't know how the prophecy works exactly.
Yeah, I don't know how much stock I put into that prophecy.
Well,
to tell the truth, it is interesting. Just that, you know, everybody's going to be looking at it now that the Pope is just and the Pope resigning is, it's been like 600 years,
something like that. Yeah,
almost 600 years.
And you know, they had the other Pope conspiracy. There's a good show for you guys if you want to. What was the guy's name? It was in the 70s. They claimed that a lot of people think that he had actually been poisoned.
Yeah, that was Pope John Paul I, yeah.
Yes. And a lot of people think he was actually poisoned. I think his reign was only about a month. And there's a couple books out there that deal with some conspiratorial ideas about how that happened. I think that would be a fun show. I would chase that right now if I were... You know, if I were still doing the show.
Yeah. There is someone that's, a couple guys that's out, well, a guy named Chris Putnam, he's been out there making the rounds, because they wrote a book about the whole St. Malachi prophecy, I believe was last year, and he's been out there making the rounds. We think about possibly getting him on and talk about that.
I bet he really is making rounds about now.
Yeah, I think he had even predicted last year that this pope would resign. So
wow.
He's actually, I think he's actually somewhere in North Carolina. I think he's somewhere close to you guys, actually. Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
But Well, J. Scott, you had another show on too, the Third Rail Radio.
Yeah, that was with Chuck Browder, my producer from World of the Unexplained.
Yeah, I want to talk about that a little bit too.
Okay, well, Chuck's more of a libertarian kind of guy. I'm more to the right of Sean Hannity, so we got along fairly well. I made the conversion in the Bush, the George W. second term. I wasn't a fan of George W. Bush, but I didn't vote for him either time. Actually, the last president that I've actually voted for that's actually won the White House was Bill Clinton. If that tells you about my political choices and preferences and how they've changed over time.
That's Luke's favorite president.
Absolutely.
Bill Clinton, I like Bill Clinton, and I still tell people that. I thought he did a great job, and I thought he was a terrific president. And face it, he's you guys' Ronald Reagan. You know, I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah.
I was a kid when Ronald Reagan was president. That's the first president I remember. I remember Carter, but very, very briefly. But Ronald Reagan's a president that I grew up remembering.
Yeah,
it was a scary time in the 80s, with movies like Red Dawn, and we really thought that the Russians were going to blow us up. I mean, that was a real fear that I had as a kid, evil Russia and what they were going to do. I have a good friend from law school, his name is Leonid, he's from Russia, and he went to law school with me, and he talked about the same fear that we had of them, they had of us at the time, and we're relatively close in age. So, it was a very real threat and a very real fear. Unlike, today. I mean, now you have the whole Muslim world on fire about, kill all the non-Muslims, I guess. Well, and not all of them are like that, but, I mean, just the majority of the hardcore, groups and the, those radical Islamists, kind of like those radical Christians we hear about all the time.
Yeah.
But it's a different place now. It's a different world. And I don't know, which one of you guys is the liberal?
That would be me.
That's okay. Chris.
Okay, Chris. What do you think about your president wanting
Chris,
to...
Not to interrupt, but Chris has Obama shoes, by the way.
Yes, I do.
Does he?
I got those right after he was elected, actually.
That's just so wrong.
I don't even know
what to say to that. No,
they were not free before you even asked. No.
Well, I mean, well, I can't come up with anything to say to that.
Exactly.
That's just wrong, man. Anyway, what do you think about your president, wanting to have basically the death list and be able to kill any American he wants to with a drone without any kind of due process?
See, I haven't heard anything about that. That's the first I've heard anything about that.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah, actually.
Well, no, the guy that works for me has actually just graduated from law school, and he's been working for me for about 4 years as an intern, and me and him are really good friends, and he's a liberal and I'm a conservative, and we often have political conversations. And, that's one of the things that he's not cool with. There's a few things that he's not cool with.
Right, and if that there's any legitimacy to that, then that's not acceptable. As Americans, we have the right to due process, so.
Yeah, and, we have the right to carry firearms as well. It's the Second Amendment. And a lot of, the whole gun control thing that the Democratic Party has put into place, that frightens me. I don't want the only people to have guns with law enforcement.
I have to disagree on that. The exact wording of the Second Amendment indicates a well-regulated militia, and there's nothing regulated about being able to go to a gun show and get an AK-47 without so much as a background check.
Well, I mean, it is the right to bear arms.
Right, but it's the right to maintain. It's the right to maintain a well-regulated militia. The key phrase in there being well-regulated, and even if we did keep all of our semi-automatic and automatic firearms, whatever, at the very least, mental health checks need to be in place for that. There is a man who I know very closely. I know that he is not stable, has been to anger management twice in his life, and currently is in possession of an M16 rifle, and that scares me.
That'd scare me too. But yeah. I'm all in agreement with you on the mental health checks. I don't think that, I'm not saying there shouldn't be requirements, but what I'm saying is that right shouldn't be infringed upon just because, you're trying to control Americans with fear.
Right, and I agree. Like, I'm not 100%, take everyone's guns at all. I believe it should be regulated, though. You should have to pass a background check. You should have to pass a mental health check. These things, are for basic safety.
I'm okay with that.
For basic safety. Someone's right to own an AK-47 should not infringe upon my right to go out in public without fear of being shot.
I agree with that. Mental health checks, background checks. I'm all in favor of this. Don't have any problem with it.
Okay. Fair enough.
Oh, there we go. Common ground.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I'm not a hardcore liberal at all. I consider myself very liberal in a lot of senses, but for the most part, I can use common sense to deduce what is acceptable and what isn't,
I think most people aren't defined. I kind of hate the definition of liberal versus conservative, because I think that most people really are not defined by that. I'm gonna take what Chris just said, for instance. I mean,
the man's wearing Obama shoes. If that's not defined by liberal or conservative, I don't know what is.
Yeah. Well, I think just people can look at different controversies or issues and come up with their own kind of ideas, and it's just kind of what fits them. We definitely have the freedom to do that in this country.
We have the freedom to elect a man that's never run a business, never worked in any kind of in any kind of job creation ability at all, and has kept the unemployment level at a whopping 8% since he begun his presidency. I was very depressed when Mr. Obama won a second term. I was very depressed for about a week.
I think the worst part about it to me was the alternative, with Mitt Romney having a history with the bank capital ordeal and shipping jobs overseas. I think that was the major reason why, even though I did vote for him, that Obama was reelected, because there's a lot of negative sentiment against him, but the alternative just wasn't
good.
Yeah,
the rich man that can create jobs that didn't take a paycheck the entire time he was governor of Massachusetts.
Yeah, the rich man who shipped, how many jobs overseas as well? This election, that election's over with, so,
And that's where me and Adam come in and say, why not just elect a third-party candidate? Everybody just forgets about him.
I voted for Gary Johnson on the last one.
We only have two choices here because that's what the television tells us to do. We can only vote for Obama or Romney. That's it.
Right.
Well, I really supported. We had a libertarian candidate, and I don't know if you remember a show we did with local politicians here in North Carolina on Third Rail Radio.
Yeah, I think
we had
so.
A guy named Mike Munger. I don't know if you caught that interview, but he's a professor of political science at Duke University here in North Carolina, and he was a libertarian. I mean, he was maybe it wasn't libertarian. I'm trying to think what he was considered now. But he was a third party candidate, and he got a lot of support. That's who I voted for. I knew that he wouldn't win, but I was using my power in the ballot box. And Trent voted for him. A lot of people we knew voted for him because we thought he could clean it up, and that's what needed to happen. Currently, now North Carolina is controlled exclusively by Republicans. First time in over 100 years, the Republicans swept the House and the Senate in North Carolina. I mean, the Democrats have controlled it for over 100 years. Now the Republicans control it, and we have a Republican governor, so something's going to get done, So I don't know. What are you guys' thoughts on the healthcare reform and some of the states that are blocking the exchanges?
Well, what I think as far as the healthcare reform is, I'll actually tell you, I was actually not against the a public option. But what I think what happened was after the Republicans had said that they didn't want to have the public option, I think what happened was that Obama then just kind of gave in to the insurance companies. So now, you know, it was basically like a bailout to the insurance companies. So now they're going to make everybody, no matter what, get insurance, which I think, you know, forcing somebody to do something, it should just be, I think, totally against the Constitution. But, of course, you know, the Supreme Court just voted it down.
Well.
Or they didn't vote it down. They upheld it, actually. But as far as the states, it will be interesting to see what happens now.
Well, let me.
One thing that's happening too, and is that you're starting to see people get taken down from like 40 hours a week to like 25 to 30 hours a week, so that these companies don't have to pay into the healthcare system.
They can't exactly do that. They can't cut someone's hours.
Well, they're doing it
there. I can tell you though that, you know, I operate a business and that we are only hiring part time now. Because of all
that's
that.
That's why.
And that's their way around it. That's the loophole. I was totally in favor of a public option. I really don't feel like the healthcare law did enough.
Yeah, I don't either.
Well, I do have a full-time employee that I you know, pay for the healthcare of that employee, and not because I was, you know, forced to do. It's just because it's something I thought that, you know, employers should do.
Sure, right.
And that's just me. I mean, it's, you know, and yeah, it does cost me money. It costs me a lot of money, but it's just one of those things that I think an employer should offer, you know, but I don't think they should be forced to do it.
Well, here's the thing. This is by the numbers here. My business last year made roughly $70,000 in net profit.
Yeah.
For each full-time employee from 2014 forward, right now we're looking at about $8,000 in benefits per employee.
That's expensive.
That's
per year.
Yeah.
So that is completely it's out of the question. There's no way, you know,
how many employees do you have?
Right now I have 14 employees.
Okay, well, I don't think this applies to you until you have at least 50.
Well,
he's a manager for a larger company.
I operate my business, but there are people over me, and my corporation, you know, spans like 27 states. Yeah.
So they're definitely included in on this.
Yeah.
I got you. Okay, well, you know, I have a good friend of mine in South Carolina I've known for years. He operates a hospice palliative care type of organization that's for profit. And, he, you know, he told me flatly on the phone, he's got a couple of them right now, and, you know, the government, basically, I always joke with him about living on the government dole because that's who pays him, you know, the U.S. government. But he said, I'm not going to, you know, I will not hire. He said, once I get to 49, he said, I stop. He said, I'm not going to do it. So, I mean, and you see, you know, Papa John's, you know, pizza, everybody got in an uproar because, you know, Papa John's, you know, wanted to start cutting hours and doing different things like that. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with it.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of scary looking at it as a business operator, how much the business is going to have to change. And then, you know, people are still going to be mandated to have insurance, so...
What's going to happen?
Yeah. I mean, there's too many loopholes.
Now, I will say something I think both, well, all three of us can agree on, is the fact that, you know, I believe that we've got to stop spending, you know, money in Washington, like you know, it's going out of style. We've got to create a budget, and we've got to stick by it. We can't let these people run around like they're kindergartners with credit cards, because we're not going to have a future if we continue to print money and spend it like we do.
I mean, we're like $16 trillion in debt? Something
like
that?
Yeah, it's a lot.
I mean, it's just insane.
Yeah, and the only reason we're allowed to print money like we do is because, you know, the world governments trade in our currency. And that's the only reason we can print it, and that's why they can't. But I'm really afraid of, you know, as much as, I love the Sacha Baron, the Sacha Cohen films, you know, like Borat and you guys seen The Dictator?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's funny.
Hilarious, you know. It's like when he's like, I'm Attica, you know. he the one line he says about owned by the Chinese. I mean, it's kind of what it's coming to with Walmart. You know, Walmart seeing a slump in their in their sales, and they're probably going to be putting cheaper things on the shelves that are made in China or other places like that. It's just it's a scary place to be sometimes. But I'll jump off the subject of politics and get into something more interesting with you guys if you'd like.
Sure. Well, I was going to ask you just, you know, keeping on politics for a little bit. I was going to ask you about the, you know, the foreign policy, like, you know, about Benghazi and all that, you know, what you think is going on there.
Well, I think that, you know, I think we're being lied to. You know, I mean, yeah. And I think that, the Republicans are, having some trouble right now. And I think the main reason the Republicans are having trouble is because the media just refuses to report the truth. The media has always been, you know, in the bag for Obama, always been in the tank for him. And he can do no wrong. They'll never run a bad story about him. But anything the Republican slips up on, they're going to run the story. You know, like my friend Dan that works for me, I told you, he said, you know, he's like, well, Fox lies. I'm like, okay, well, tell me where or how. You know, I mean, and don't base it on Bill O'Reilly or Sean Hannity or you know, any of the other
Glenn Beck.
don't base it on any of the entertainment portions of Fox News. I'm talking about just the news organization as a whole when they're running, like, you know, live news during the course of the day. You know, that's what I'm talking about. I think that Fox does tend to be more conservative, but I do feel that they report a lot of stories that you know, like, and you can't tell me that MSNBC is not the most liberal television station on cable TV.
Well, here's what I have to say about that. I admire Fox News for their ability, because whether you like it or not, they put a conservative spin on every single thing they do. It doesn't matter what the news is. If Obama drinks a Pepsi, then Obama declares war on Coke, according to Fox. You know, but I mean that's just how it is. And that's just how it is. And I really feel like they've perfected this whole. I mean, just to be honest, from my perspective, you know, and again, I view MSNBC as the liberal counterpart to Fox News. So keep that in mind.
The Obama station.
Right. So
MSNBC.
Right. But I feel like Fox News has turned what is almost, especially from the people you said not to consider, Bill O'Reilly, Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity, those people, they've almost
turned. Glenn Beck's got his own channel now, The Blaze, which I watch a lot.
No, well, Glenn Beck's a whole nother story for me. But
awesome.
I feel like they've taken what is almost a propaganda machine and perfected it. And they legitimately have, you got to remember, we didn't mention this, but I'm from rural Alabama originally.
Mm-hmm.
So I have seen some of the most conservative, Obama-hating people you have ever seen in your life. And I'll go ahead and tell you, they all watch it, they all believe in it. You know, and MSNBC has tried to do that from a liberal standpoint, but they obviously don't have, you know, the kind of base, the rabid base that Fox News does. So I admire them for their business model. But I
oh yeah, they got
like,
a great business model. They get more viewers than any of the other cable news networks.
Right, but I still feel like it's a bit of a propaganda machine.
I heard what? Obama kills babies. Luke, you got anything you want to ask, man?
Burgers and French fries.
Luke hates politics. He feels sorely left out here.
Well, go ahead.
Jay Scott, I wanted to talk to you too about, you know, your any paranormal experiences that you have had. You know, kind of turning away from politics, go to maybe more supernatural. You know, have you ever had any like the experiences from that deal with the stuff that you talked about on your show?
Oh yeah, yeah. One happened to us. I'm sorry, I was getting a text message from Trent.
It's okay.
The one thing that happened the night that we were out at the Twin Lakes Lodge. I don't know if you've heard that show. It was a two or three part show. We pulled an all nighter there with one of the guys from Ghostly Talk and with with John Zaffis. John flew in and we did an investigation there. Well, I didn't do any investigating. I don't play with that stuff. Yeah. So I'm the guy that I'm the guy that when the voice says, "Get out," I'm like, "Okay, well, bye." I'm out the door, man.
I'm gone.
Hey, let's split up and check that out. Yeah, no. I'm the guy that gets out. I'm the first one out the door. The experience we had was John Zaffis and I were sitting in front of the fireplace, and it was wintertime, so it was cold. There was a fire in the fireplace, and we were sitting there, and the VCR came on behind us by itself. No one had set it. At the same time the VCR came on by itself, an alarm clock started blaring music in the other room, I think it was exactly midnight, and no one had set the alarm. So we thought, that was a little strange. There was another one that involved a dishwasher at my mother's house coming on by itself. But other than that, when I was there, it just magically came on. And yeah, other than that, I haven't had any real experiences that I can. Well, no, there's one more, and I try not to think about these things. That's why. Years ago. I was laying in my bed, and this was, I was probably in my 20s, early 20s maybe even 19. I felt two hands on each of my calves, and I felt like I got jerked down in the bed. And so I laid completely still and pretend like I was asleep. But that's been the extent of my paranormal, nothing major, nothing crazy like you hear from some of these guys.
Well, that's pretty serious right there, getting yanked out of bed by a spirit.
Yeah, well, that was kind of crazy. That's the only one that I could, but, and you know, I, honestly, to this day, I don't know if I was asleep and I dreamed that, or if, sure. I can't really mark that down and say that was really something that happened. I don't know.
I think you had told me something about, something with Joshua P. Warren that happened.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. Well, maybe I do have more of these now that I'm thinking about this. Joshua and I I've investigated some stuff with him. We've seen things fall down and set themselves back up. We saw it happen with a recorder or a EMF meter. It was sitting up on its base, and it fell over, and it stood itself right back up. And we've got that on tape. He's got that actually on tape. We've seen orbs move in the camera. I've seen a lot of weird stuff with Josh. Josh is really in tune. One time where it's pitch black and the batteries go dead and everything, and then you hear Joshua. I'm like, oh God! I mean, Joshua just attracts it. He actually spent the night in the Myrtle's mansion.
Yeah.
And he's got some clips of that on YouTube where stuff just started like banging around him and beating. I mean, Warren is. He's far more of he's one of the types that wants to go investigate the noise, basically. And Warren's a good friend of mine. I've known Joshua for, oh God, ages. I've known Joshua since I was 20, 21 years old. So, I mean, he's always been big into this stuff. You should get him on the show.
Yeah, we had someone like his associate of his, Micah Hanks.
Yeah, Micah.
We've had on him on the show a couple of times.
I've hung out with Micah several times over at the radio radio station in Asheville, WWNC. Micah's a heck of a producer and a great guy all around. Couldn't find a better guy. He's actually the one that hooked me up with David Ferrant's information because.
Oh, did he really?
I got Bishop Manchester, but I couldn't find out any way to get David Ferrant, and I found out he had been on their show. So we traded a couple guests. I gave them Raymond Moody, and they gave me, I think that's who I gave them. I don't know. We trade guests all the time. But I was like, yeah, you got the contact info for that guy? I need it, So that's what happened with that.
Yeah, Mike is a great guy. He does an awesome Alex Jones impression, which we have all.
Oh gosh, I've got to hear that.
Yeah, it's on our last. It's on our perfect. Last show.
It's spotless, just spot on.
That's great. Yeah,
you're familiar with Alex Jones, right, Jay Scott?
Alex Jones has done some wild stuff too. I invited him on the show numerous times, and he
did you?
He never even responded back. I don't know if the email went into his junk box or what, but no, we invited him by email numerous times and we could never get him. He was one that we wanted, but we never, you know, could never get.
That's Chris's favorite.
We invited Stephen King on too, but you know, yeah. No surprise, we didn't get him either.
Luke, was there anything that you wanted to ask, man?
Well, unfortunately, I'm not really familiar with the show or anything. I mean, you know, you've never played it in the office. Because it's all older. I mean, when did you say the show stopped again?
Like 2008.
Okay, yeah. So, I've never heard it before or anything.
And our site's down as far as the old links that we had up to all the podcasts. They've taken that down.
Yeah.
You can still find them, I think, on... I think you can still find them on some of the podcast places, or you might be able to find them on, like, YouTube, where someone's just took a picture of something and, you know, put our interviews up that way. But,
yeah,
I need to really get those back up.
It really is some classic stuff. What I remember just around 2006 or so, I just remember just sitting around and just, like, I would go to sleep listening to that show.
And wow.
It really quickly became, like, my favorite show. I'd listen to Ghostly Talk, for probably about a year or so, and I remember that's where I heard you the first time. Was on, I think you were on Ghostly Talk with them as one of the guests, and I checked out your show and I started listening to it. So it kind of became, it's one of the templates for this show. So I want to thank you.
Hey man, there's nothing nothing more flattering than that. I'll tell you that. That's a big honor. It really is. I appreciate the compliment and appreciate what you're doing, because, you know, people, it's not only is it fun from, you know, from our end on what we get to see and who we get to talk to, but it's, you know, it really educates people out there that have no idea that some of this stuff's even, you know, even exists. You know?
I think that's the importance of this kind of podcast, you know. I don't know how many people heard you live, but I remember it just being very important, and I would listen live. But I remember just being very important that it was a podcast and that the material was there, and it was free to download.
And oh yeah, we all did was spend money on that show. We never made any.
Right? Yeah, I hear you. And you know, through the problems and everything that you have, and we had a big problem last week, for just some stupid silly issue. But you know, I think it's worth doing, and I've gotten a lot of out of doing this show with these two guys, and. You know, I just wanted to thank you for helping inspire this show.
Hey, that's like I said, once again, it's a great honor. I appreciate the compliment, and I think, like I said, I've listened to some of your stuff on the web, and it sounds good, and I hope you keep it up, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk later again sometime, and maybe I can bring Trent on or have Trent on by himself or something like that. I think you'd like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we go with you, Jay Scott, I just wanted, you know, what are you doing now? You know, what are your plans? Any plans for the future, like a web presence that anybody could get in touch with you on?
I'm going to run for president of the United States.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to run on the 47% ticket, you know.
I'll vote for you.
I will too, man. I'll vote for you.
No, Trent's going to be my vice presidential nominee. Have my wife in the background, oh Lord. What I do now mainly that just takes up most of my time is, you know, I practice criminal defense, and most of that's devoted to the defense of drunk drivers. The reason I do that is because I think it's probably one of the areas of law where the Constitution is most ignored. Hmm. It's become so politically... I mean, and don't get me wrong, I don't defend... You know, I'm not saying that people should drink and drive. I don't think they should.
Right.
But I don't think that the Constitution should be averted just because we want a conviction. And I see that happening every day in our court system. And, you know, if they start taking one right away and just rubber stamping it, that's what they're going to do with every other right eventually. And I don't want to see that happen.
Kind of what gets you to elaborate on that a little bit? What's being taken away or what's being averted? in those convictions?
In North Carolina, we have a system to where, you know, these cases in a lot of counties and a lot of times they'll go out a year or sometimes 2 years or 3 years, and you know, no one cares about a speedy trial, and no one cares about any kind of wait. The state, it's just a waiting game with the state, especially if it's a blood case. They drew blood and the SBI lab hadn't come back with it yet. You're going to be waiting and waiting and waiting, and it's a game where, not really a game, but it's a process to where, you know, they'll get, you know, might get 10 or 11 or 12 continuances on a case. And that may put your client waiting for more than a year before they can get a trial, because the state doesn't have what they need to get a conviction. On the other hand, if I were to ask for that many continuances as a defense lawyer, you know, that wouldn't happen. And in any other case, in any other criminal case, that wouldn't happen. There's always an end, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. But with these types of cases, it just seems to be a lot of times that it's just a convict as many as we can kind of attitude. And I think that's because of the pressure from Mothers Against Drunk Drivers and because of other organizations like that that have pressured society and made it so politically, such a political hot issue that I think that, everyone's basically, the state can ignore certain things in order to get the desired result.
Sure.
But no, I mean, that's that's the majority of what I do, and I hope to continue to do that, and hopefully build a larger practice, and gain some more time once I have some employees that I can send to court, so I don't have to be there all the time. So I spend a lot of my time in courtrooms. That's mainly what I do. So I'm in court every day, and I'm in court for usually half the day, sometimes all day. So it's
that's rough.
It's fun. It's fun. Yeah, it's tough, but it's fun on some levels, and it's enjoyable. And on some levels, it's not enjoyable at all, and it makes you just want to wring your hands sometimes. But it's a living. You know, I think if I'd had the choice, knowing what I know now, I don't think I would have went to law school. And I don't think I would encourage anyone who's thinking about it to go, because of the mountains of debt that happens, after you graduate, and, the repayment, that debt is just a tremendous, tremendous amount of money. It's more, my monthly payment to my student loans is more than my mortgage.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's for the next, for half of it, or a little over half of it, I think that's for the next 14 years. So, and the other one's like 30-some years on the Fed loans. But, yes, I mean, you're talking about quite a substantial amount of money, and it's just, and they're long hours, and it's very time-consuming work, and you're dealing with people's lives every day. You know, you're really, this is something that's very important. This is the most important thing that's happening with this person, is what you're there with them for, and it can really put a lot of stress on you. So, no, I probably wouldn't do it again.
Yeah. Well, best of luck to you and all that.
Definitely. And, thank you. And I want to count on you guys' vote in 2016 when I... No.
Gotcha.
Absolutely.
We'll do it, man. Elect J. Scott for president.
If I can just get the nomination. I don't...
We'll run you on the World of the Unexplained party.
There we go. But guys, I appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun, and I'll salute your listeners out there. If anyone wants to get in touch with me, they can still email worldoftheunexplained@gmail.com. We check it from time to time, but we honestly don't check it, but maybe twice a month. But yeah, we still do check it. So.
Absolutely. Well, J. Scott, stay in the line. We're going to close this section out, chat a little bit. But, guys, we'll call it. We'll be back on Conspiranormal. All right, we're back on Conspiranormal. Chris,
yeah,
it was awesome to have you here tonight.
Of course it is. Of course, it's always awesome whenever I'm here.
That was a great, that was a great exchange you had there.
I enjoy debating politics. Politics and religion, the stuff that people usually stay away from. I'm all like, yeah, let's do this.
I know, man, no problem with that. It makes a good show.
Yeah.
I think. Luke was just about to go into a coma, though. he had the spaghetti before the show.
Oh,
so
no,
he's in a food coma.
I went and took care of that with your great facilities.
That's nobody wants to know that, man. Nobody wants to know about your gastrointestinal problems.
I put it in the most polite way possible.
But anyway, so I wanted to talk about a little bit. Last night was the premiere of Ghostland Tennessee, which is the show that the Tennessee Wraith Chasers are on. And in October, we had Doogie and Chris from the Tennessee Wraith Chasers. I reposted that back on my Facebook page today, and I believe it's show number 14, I believe, and so anybody can look that up. I don't think any of you guys have seen the show, but it was a good show. I thought it captured the guy's personality pretty well. I was kind of afraid that it being called Ghostland Tennessee, they were going to make him look like some real, hillbilly rednecks.
That would only be if it was Ghostland Alabama.
Ghostland Alabama. Ghostland Gadsden, yeah. And it was good. I thought it was pretty fair. They had some interesting things. They used a devil's box in it, which is supposedly this thing that can capture ghosts. It's like a box with a whole bunch of mirrors in it. And they said that they heard tapping inside of it. They said that reaction was real. It wasn't something that was done for the camera. This is just the pilot episode. So if anybody, has a chance to catch it, it is on Animal Planet. So whatever listing that is, yeah. I don't know how it fits in with animals, but whatever.
Yeah, okay. Don't really fit in with the animals.
Yeah, I think it's there is a dog in it. I know that's, as far as I know, people are animals, right? I don't know. But so everybody has a chance to catch that, watch it, go back and listen to the podcast. We actually had the chance to go ghost hunt with those guys 2 or 3 weeks ago. And that was a great experience. We didn't find too much. We were at kind of like this supposedly haunted bus location. And Prime was there. He was in his lab coat. He brought in his star remote viewers and did some experimenting on remote viewing and with ghosts, which I can say was pretty interesting. And Chris laughed at me that I was going ghost hunting.
I had to cover your shift that day. So back to the whole Animal Planet thing. That makes about as much sense as if Star Trek was on the History Channel. I mean,
well, Ancient Aliens is on the History Channel.
Well,
so how's that?
That's true. Touche on that one.
Back to Ancient Aliens.
Man, Ancient Aliens. Yeah, we just don't need to talk about that anymore.
That show is all real. Everything on it is 100% proven fact.
Yep.
Right, and then long ago in a galaxy far, far away, that stuff really happened too.
Hey, it could have.
You never know, man. It was just aliens.
Han Solo doesn't think. He just shoots.
This is the first show we've done in a while. And we actually did a show about 2 weeks ago, I believe, Luke.
Yeah.
We had Russ Dizdar on. It was an interview that I was really looking forward to. It was a really great interview. Unfortunately, no one will get to hear it. At least not that one. If we can ever get him back on, I'll have him back on and we'll redo the interview. But the program that I used to record Skype, PowerGramo, decided it wanted an update. And instead of actually properly working like most programs do before you update them, this one decided not to work. So you can only hear mine and Luke's side of the conversation. And nothing from Russ.
Super exciting.
Yeah. So,
ask it nicely?
Well,
did you ask it nicely to work? Please?
Yeah, I did. And then once I updated it, it worked. So,
you just had to give it what it wanted. It just wanted candy.
Yeah, that's right. Just wanted candy. So, next week, we're going to be back here next week.
Next week?
Next Monday. We're going to have an interesting guest. I think this is one that you both will enjoy. His name is Doc Marquis. And Doc Marquis supposedly is a former Illuminati witch.
Oh. Oh, yes.
This should be an interesting one.
Can we, is this going to be Skype, or can I bring this guy in with a case of beer and just see what happens?
This will be Skype.
Oh, man.
So there's one of these days. It's not going to be live in the studio.
One of these days, you're just going to bring some guests in.
Hold on.
Bring some beer.
Define Illuminati witch for me.
Well, supposedly he was in the Illuminati. Or at least a cult that called itself the Illuminati. And they worshipped Lucifer. And they were infiltrating the United States Army, I believe. And he found Jesus. And now he goes around on the Christian circuit talking about how he was a former Illuminati witch.
Why would you say witch instead of wizard?
He says witch. That's what he says. I don't know. You'd have to ask him.
Yeah, we'll ask him.
He also talks about the Illuminati cards, which is something that I'm sure you're interested
in.
Oh,
yeah.
You know, the cards that supposedly predict everything that's ever going to happen?
Yeah, I've read all about them, but to see his side of the story, it'd be interesting.
Yeah, I've seen his presentation at a conference, and it is interesting. I know the history of the Illuminati cards, though, so to me it's not that... and you could probably ask Adam Gorightly about this. I think they're pretty tongue-in-cheek, so I'm pretty doubtful that they actually have any bearing.
Well, now let's hear what the guys actually got.
Yeah, we're going
to
hear. Yeah, we are.
I don't know about this, but see,
we're going to let him say what he's going to say.
I don't know, man. I could see the things on those cards coming true.
Yeah, there's some weird stuff, right? Like there's one that looks like Obama.
Yeah, it looks just like him. And these are from 1995.
Yeah, they're in the mid-90s.
It depicts a black president getting things thrown at him while he's talking behind a podium. And, the resemblance is crazy with the illustration, dude.
A bunch of guys wearing Obama shoes. Throwing stuff at him.
Get my Obama phone. But, I wish I had a free phone.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
It'd be nice. But, yeah. Well, I want to thank you guys for coming, and especially you, Chris, for coming out tonight. You know, we've missed you, man.
Right. Well, you know, with the new job and everything, it's just been about, you know, getting my schedule situated.
Now he's the Pizza Hut master.
Yep.
Yep.
He is the master.
Got my own place.
And congratulations about
Muchas
that.
Gracias, señor.
Congratulations. We'll be back next week for more Conspiranormal. Oh, and we're also on iTunes now, so check us out on that.
So go download that.
Yeah, go download it, and much more easier because as I've been told, as I've heard, you know, unless you're on iTunes, you don't exist as a podcast. Unfortunately,
so
that's the way it is.
We spent forever now not existing.
Well, there's all the other shows. There's like 21 other shows that are on there, so. This will be the first new one when this one gets posted. This will be the first new one on there. So if anybody doesn't have anything to add, I think we're just going to go ahead and call it a night.
Fine.
Cricket sounds.
All right. Well, join us next week. We're going to have Doc Marquis on. And join us again next week on Conspiranormal.
Mi vaca en fuego.
Obama.
You got Obama phone?
Yes, everybody in Cleveland.
How'd he give you a phone?